Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's right. The Drive is live, and we are back at it. A very power-packed Wednesday. We will hear from D'Amico Ryans live. We will hear from C.J. Stroud live. We will hear from our guy Brandon Scott, a little Texans report, as he'll be down there, and we'll hear from him a little bit later on.
No bitches nowhere around here.
There you go. All the way early in it. Tyler, you all right, man?
Yes, 35? Sir. Another year older.
All right, but I'm just...
On the backside.
But Tyler, this doesn't sound like it was a late
back
evening.
Back on my own.
Tyler sounds like he turned 35 and then had a mature birthday celebration.
I mean, I always have a mature celebratory time. It's just a matter of how drunk I get.
Yeah, it's not always.
I hear a slight nasal.
I don't.
I hear a slight nasal.
I got a little bit of the sniffles, okay. But it's not from it's not from too many margaritas.
See what happens when you act right, Tyler. See what happens when you
I always act right.
No, but I'm talking about not stay out, not drink too much. You go home, you get in bed, and here you go, man. You got the sniffles.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well just have a good time in front of it. You're going to be nasal and have the sniffles anyway.
No lies detected there.
You might as well cut it loose, man. To hell with it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I had my appropriate amount of birthday margaritas.
Text line, I'm sorry, Show, but you're delusional if you think Tiger can win another major. Look, hey, man, half y'all Texas fans think that you're going to make the playoff before yesterday. Hell, some of you still do.
No All one right? thought hey, he was going to win that last one either.
Delusion happens sometime. Yes, I'm being delusional. Hey, but sometimes you got to believe.
Cowboys fans been doing it since the 90s.
It's a damn shame. Every time he says, I don't enter a tournament that I don't think I can win, he has me. And I know he can't bend down to look at a putt with his knee, but when I hear him, he has me. He has me. Just that little gleam, that little inkling, I believe him.
I'd have me a caddy that walked on all four legs, on all fours. I'd have. Hey, if I was Tiger Woods and I couldn't get down behind that putt, I'd have me a caddy that walked on all fours.
Hey man,
he'd be cool. He'd be the best putt, best reader of greens from his belly we ever seen.
Hey
boy.
Tyler, would he start kicking out that leg out like catchers catch now? To go look at the
getting that little extra torque.
No, when he start to go look at the greens, when he look at the greens and he kicked that leg out like catchers do.
Because it doesn't bend the way it's supposed to no more.
Because he can't sit down and get in the regular catcher stance. He's like an aging catcher. He kicks that leg out.
I can identify with that.
He's bent on one leg. I said, damn.
Well, Tiger, he needs to come up with some stance where that one leg, it's all torn up. Is it like, you know, what was that what was the player's name? He was a European that got down, Tyler, that got down real funky, looked like almost Spider-Man on the ground behind his putter. I can see him.
I don't remember that.
Is that Ian Poulter?
No. It's not
with those pants. He ain't getting down like that.
God, it's a long-haired Latin dude, I think. I can't even.
But anyway, is it Jose?
You're on the right track.
Mario?
I don't
know.
One of those guys. You remember talking about when he got down behind that putt?
Ponytail?
He was in almost a push-up position.
I know what you're talking about, but I cannot remember.
Is it the ponytail?
But where I'm going, it doesn't matter who it was. Where I'm going with it, Tiger needs to come up with some kind of pose behind the ball like that. That if he ever does win another major, if he does ever get it done, all of a sudden the whole golf world, every 12-year-old golfer in America is behind his ball in that goofy
ass think
pose.
He just sit behind it with his legs just wide and just stare that way.
Hey, just be like a tiger, like a crouching tiger.
Is his caddy, I don't know this, Tyler, is his caddy allowed to help him up? If he were to get all the way down on the ground on the green, his caddy able to go out there and help him up?
That'd be a hell of a rule if you couldn't. Hey, if somebody falls down, you cannot help him up.
Yeah,
help him up.
Sorry, Eldrick. Tiger was the biggest ass hat on them rules. What was it with Casey? What's Casey's last name? Where they wouldn't he had the bad wheel, and he was trying to petition to drive.
Ride a cart.
Yeah, ride a cart because he literally had that bad leg. Like, that Tiger's dragon.
Casey was his last name, wasn't it?
I thought his first name was Casey. Anyway, but Tiger, Tiger was one of the ones real hard up. No, you got to walk. You don't get to do no.
Daly's been trying for years.
Yeah, Daly's hell. He just wanted to. He wanted to drive so he could smoke.
Yeah,
he smoke and drink easier. Be closer to a cigarette.
I told you, man. When I was at that PGA Championship in St. Louis, and I saw him just lighten up. On that green, I said, "Oh, damn! They just smoked a cigarette in between shots."
Party,
he was lighting it up. All right. Anyway, a lot to get to today. As we said, I think the first thing we should look at here is the injuries. We'll hear from Chiefs coach Andy Reid as he's got some important updates. But Clint, we'll get this when the official injury report comes out a little bit later. But for the Texans not practicing today. Woody Marks with the foot, Will Anderson, Kamari Lassiter, Trent Brown with the broken finger. Those last three, especially Will Anderson and Trent Brown, they've kind of been doing this the last couple of weeks. So those don't really alarm. And Kamari Lassiter seems like you got to take his helmet, his shoes, everything away from him from not to get on the field. Yeah, so I don't know.
This time of year, you got to.
They may look like they're just saying, hey, Kamari, you got to stop. Right. You got to slow down. The Woody Marks one, though, we saw the injury. He left and went back in, and he ran hard, but he did not look like he had the normal burst that we've seen from Woody Marks. That one, to me, is a little bit more serious to watch in this week because Woody Marks is a big key to this team and then moving forward.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was 2 weeks in a row that he left with some kind of injury like that. Maybe the same foot, I don't know. But I'm less worried about, whether he can go or not and is it full speed or not. And just more like the general question of like this offense with no Woody Marks is set back significantly. You know what I mean? I think this offense with no Woody Marks, if you just look at the last handful of games and the ability to make somebody that's unblocked, an unblocked defender miss and go get first downs, it's the ability to do what we saw earlier in the season, catch the ball out of the backfield, like literally have 115, 120, 130 yards, all-purpose yards. You know, we there's just nobody else in the backfield for the Texans that's even remotely close to doing that, to doing what he does. And so I just think he's such an integral part to this offense right now that even if he's a little bit banged up and he can go, he still has the ability to make those guys miss. Like last week, he comes back in the game, he ends up, goes get eight or nine-yard run to put the last nail in the coffin there. This is a play, not play for me. If he's hobbled a bit, I'm okay with it. He seems to still be able to get the job done. The fear here is this offense without him is
I think
it takes a step back.
Well, it is clearly they've turned to him not only their lead back, but he's the guy that's the skill guy that's getting most touches that they are going to in the passing game as well in the run game. And you got Nick Chubb, a veteran, and Clint, at the end of the game, it was the Colts know we got to run the ball. We need to get a first down. Who do we have in the ball game? You would think sometimes, all right, maybe we get the veteran in there that we feel better about not fumbling. But they ran him in there, and he was the one that was able to get what they needed to get done with the first down to end that game. Yep. So it is clear that he is one of the top guys, and they're showing that the last several weeks.
Well, it's clear. 70-plus snap, percentage of snaps he's getting the last month or so, last 3 weeks or a month. That's a big increase from what we saw, big difference from what we saw early in the season. So he's obviously, an integral part of what's going on. The other interesting part to the running back deal is they've made no effort And I think obviously they know what they're doing, but they've made no effort to have a back that's similar in skill set to Woody Marks to fill any kind of void, right? Like, it would be great right now if they said, hey, man, Woody Marks, or let's say Woody Marks' foot, he goes out, you know, early in the first quarter, if the foot hurts and he can't go anymore, we lose him, right? If you had a little scat back that you could put in there that you feel like on a third down could give you a chance of making a defender miss if it's not blocked perfect and go get a first down.
Dory.
Well, no. That ain't going to happen. I mean, I don't. It may happen, but
that's not what you're talking about.
That can't be the plan if what I'm saying is in mind. Now, I do think their plan would be Chubb and Dory, but it is interesting that they've not backfilled this thing with some kind of back that's got a little bit of shake, that has a history of, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield and being a little bit more of a third down, kind of a scat back type guy.
You're describing Dory.
Yeah, well, no, okay.
To them.
Yeah, maybe in their opinion. Did I say reliable and can kick? But it's interesting they haven't backfilled it. So you definitely lose that dynamic as far as I know.
Yeah, so that's the side from the Texans. We'll keep a watch on that. But Woody Marks, that's the big name. Will Anderson, Kamari Laster, Trent Brown also didn't practice. But I think the bigger story on the other side is with the Chiefs, and the worst place in the world you would want to have issues going into a must-have game when you're facing this Houston Texans team. Major injury issues across the offensive line. Here is Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, met with the media earlier today, giving an update on that very offensive line group.
All right. The guys that will not practice today are Roland Wallace with his back. He is making progress. And then Josh Simmons ended up having surgery on that wrist for a fracture and a dislocation. He'll go on to IR, and then we'll just see about the recovery on that, where it goes from there. And then Trey and Juwan won't practice today, but they're making progress going forward. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Texans. Good football team. D'Amico's done a great job down there with that crew.
So that was three starting offensive linemen, including both their tackles, that one we know is out, right? Josh Simmons, who was their first-round pick, their left tackle, had really solidified that side of the line. He's got a fracture and a dislocated wrist. As you heard Andy say there, he had surgery, so he is on IR. He's got to miss the next 4 weeks. Juwan Taylor, the other tackle on the other side, has a tricep injury that he left the Dallas game early and obviously not practicing. And remember, they've had extra time. They played on Thanksgiving. And then Trey Smith, he's got a high ankle sprain and a low ankle sprain on the same ankle. Has missed the last game and a half. And I don't think they expect him to be ready to go by Sunday. Those are three of their starters, and be honest with you, three of their better linemen right there that could be missed in this game. We know Simmons will be missed, and that does bring in that will at least bring in Jalen Moore. We'll see about the other moves, but Clint, this is a real advantage for the Houston Texans. And when we always talk about find the duck.
Yep.
Let me tell you what, if 64 Wanya Morris has to get out there and play, that is the duck.
That's the
Let
duck.
Let me tell you right
for.
Now.
Well, Trey Smith is the one here that I think is a major problem for Kansas City. Look, to be honest with you, I think Kansas City is going to have to allocate a lot of offensive resources to taking care of the defensive ends in this game, any way you slice it, regardless of who's at tackle. But to your point, not dismissing how bad that guy is, just generally speaking, whoever is out there with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, and being as reliant as you typically are on Pat Mahomes, you're gonna have to help them tackles any way you slice it. So I don't care if you built this game plan a month ago or a day ago, helping your tackles or having some kind of solution and game plan for the defensive ends was always going to be a monster part of it. To me, for Kansas City, the problem now is, and we talk about it all the time, if you can't solidify the inside of that pocket and your quarterback has nowhere to push up to, generally speaking, against average rushers, you're in trouble. If you've got interior problems and the Texans are able to get interior push on this offensive line, Now you've got two of the league's best coming downhill that are gonna they're gonna beat you no matter what. They're gonna get home no matter what. Now your quarterback has nowhere to escape to. His safe zone is completely gone. So to me, it's about can that interior O-line play, can they, without Trey Smith, can they keep that interior firm versus the let's call it the less lethal part of the Texans' defensive line, the Texans' pass rush. That's the key if you're Kansas City, is how do we give Pat somewhere to escape? If you get Pat, is Pat, I would argue that Pat's superpower, he's got several of them, but one of them, one of the biggest ones, is that feel in the pocket and the ability to navigate the pocket and work around blockers literally and give them angles and give them leverage.
Oh, thank you.
And the Texans were hurt by that in both games last year.
I mean, every time you turn the game, turn a Kansas City film on, he does it. Whether they win, lose, he's playing good or bad. You watch him navigate the pocket. His ability to manipulate pass rush and allow his guys to stay on blocks and stay have leverage and stay in position to give him decent protection. There's nobody in the game better. There's probably nobody in the game ever been better.
But I think we'll probably see a lot of what the Texans did with Josh, where I remember Will saying it in the post game with you guys, like their rush integrity.
Yeah.
Like no flybys. I remember him saying that, and they just kind of bottled up Josh and let Josh run into sacks. I would say we may see a lot of that, but Clint, they may whoop some of these guys' asses so fast that it may not,
matter.
I mean, when I say 64, I'm like, think Kenyon Green from a tackle perspective.
Oh, wow.
We're in that range where, there's some talent, but the kid gets,
when he gets beat, he gets beat immediately.
Worked. I mean, he gets speed rush, power rush. So they're in some trouble if he has to go in this game. All right, coming up, let's take a look at the final regular season college football playoff rankings. They came out, and I think we are now seeing much more of what this thing may look like after this week's championship games. Let's look into that and see what we thought of the release of the new rankings. That's coming up next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
Karam Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the final regular season college football playoff rankings were out, and they came out last night. And this tells a big story, Clint, just because obviously most of the teams aren't playing any more games, or at least some of the teams aren't playing any more games. And generally, if you're inside the top, 10, you should feel pretty good about where you are, because not a lot of major movement, with the exception of really BYU, Clint, who's in the Big 12 championship game against Texas Tech. Really, there's not a lot of people who are just going to, move in to a spot. So, when you look at the top 12 currently, Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech, the top four, no real surprise there. Oregon, Ole Miss, they move up in front of A&M, even without all of their situation. A&M drops from 3 to 7. OU, Alabama moves up to 9, which I think means a little something if they moved up a spot. Notre Dame, 10, BYU, 11, Miami, 12, and then Texas. They moved up from 16 to 13 outside of that top 12. As they sit there, they jump over Utah and Vanderbilt with a 9-3 record. Clint, because I think there are a couple of storylines in here. What jumps out to you when you look at this final regular season ranking going into championship weekend?
Well, I don't know that there's a lot jumping out per ranking. I mean, like the way you're looking at it, I mean, this has always been a top 11 look, because there's obviously going to be that 12th top ranked group of five school. So, I mean, group of four school, whatever the hell it's called now. I think the rankings, not necessarily the bracket, the rankings for me is, I find it interesting that, not interesting, it doesn't surprise me one bit, but that Texas has jumped from to 13, and the school that they jumped is a 10-2 Vanderbilt. And that's the two-win team that they choose to move down below a three-win Texas team. And I know Texas
Utah beat them too. They jumped Utah as well.
Texas beat them. But it's just interesting that's the school. I've always felt like this is one of those deals where the big brands are going to win out. And I can't help but look at that Vanderbilt sliding down. And to your point, Utah sliding down. Below a three-loss team, and it being those two teams. So, I think that, again, I love the fact that we're talking about 10 through 14, 10 through 15, and not, 2 through 5.
Yeah.
But that's what sticks out, is the lower part of this bracket, the lower part of these rankings from 10 to say 15.
Well, see, the two things that jump out to me when I see it, and you mentioned it when you talked about Texas and Vandy, right? The only thing that you would think that caused them to jump Vandy, because Vandy is in the SEC as well. They've got a better record in the SEC. The only thing that you would think, Clint, that changes that is, they beat them. They beat them head-to-head. Okay, all right, you can jump multiple spots and beat somebody head-to-head. But meanwhile, Clint, Notre Dame is sitting there at 10, and Miami is sitting there at 12, but it don't work in that favor. In that one, they faced off head to head, and Notre Dame lost. Sorry, Sean, but Notre Dame lost to Miami head to head. And I mean, when you look at it, Notre Dame, their best win is Pitt, USC, and Pitt. Those are their two best wins right now. It seems like they're really up there on the strength of how close their losses were.
Notre Dame. That's a reputable university, right?
It is. Jimbo, to their two losses to Miami and A&M to kick off the season. But Miami beat them head-to-head. Miami has a win over Notre Dame. At the time, they beat a 16th-ranked Florida State. That doesn't really mean anything. At the time, they beat an 18th-ranked South Florida. Right? And they beat that same Pitt team. It is interesting to think
It applies to some, but not to all.
It applied to Texas and Vanderbilt, but it did not apply to Notre Dame and Miami.
Yeah, the team that is historically the worst team in the SEC is making a run, has had a great year, and has the record to be right up there with the best of them. You hold that against them, but you don't seem to hold that against Notre Dame in these rankings.
Because they were saying, the committee was saying, they're not in the same tier, so head-to-head doesn't matter. Well, hell, man, they're 10-12 right now. Are they still not in the same tier?
I don't even know what that means, to be honest with you.
So they have a tier of teams, and they said Notre Dame's in a different tier than Miami is.
I mean, Notre Dame's a good football team. There's no doubt about it. But if resume and is part of it, and you're not and you're the strength of schedule is part of it, and head to head is obviously part of it, then it's hard to explain some of the things that are going on. But this is every year. Every year we get to cuss and discuss these types of topics. I'm going to tell you,
the ACC may not even get a team in.
The interesting thing is if 11-1 BYU, if they lose in the title game, is that right? Who do they got in the title game? Texas Tech.
Yeah, they're done.
If they lose in the title game, and losing to in a title game to the number 4 team in the country, what do they do with BYU?
Oh, they're out. They'll drop them.
You got Miami and you got Texas standing right there behind them.
They'll drop them below both of them. But then when that happens, you can't tell me that Miami and Notre Dame aren't in the same tier. At that point, they'd be right behind each other, right? If BYU loses, the thought would be that the only team behind or between Notre Dame and Miami is BYU. That then Miami would pull up and would be right behind them in the polls. There is no way in hell that you could keep them out head to head. Like, it's not even a deal of like, all right, yeah, they lost to Miami head to head, but man, they beat Ohio State and Indiana. You know what I mean? They don't have great wins to back it up. By the way, Alabama's the safest team in the field. Let the committee let them lose to Georgia, who they already beat. Let them lose. And by the way, I think they will. I think this will be the first time we have a three. I know it's only the second year we've done it, but this will be the first time there will be a three-loss team get into the field. Clemson did. Clemson got in there last year. But the first time a three-loss at-large team will get into the field, I think will happen with Alabama. Because if Alabama plays in that SEC championship game and they lose and they somehow drop them out of it, oh, boy. That's going to be a problem for conference championship games. And they are going to lose their mind. You'll start having teams angling to not play in it.
Well, I'm here for it because it's going
to be. I kind of want to see it.
Well, it's the fascination, to me, the fascinating part of this, again, is you know, when you're talking 10 through 14 or 15, and if Alabama does lose, they're obviously going to drop from 9, not completely out of it. They'll obviously drop from 9, right? I mean, you would think. And especially if it's kinda. If it's not a close game. I would think they would drop from 9. And so now, again, that traffic jam, that swamp, if you will, at 10 through 15 but gets even deeper.
They shouldn't
Alabama
drop,
team.
Though, Clint, because the conference championship games cannot hurt you.
Yeah, that's what they keep saying.
Only help.
Well, it can't hurt you, but it. I mean, I guess that's why BYU's outside looking in right now.
Yeah, well, they say it can only. All right, coming up, let's head to NRG and hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, as they get set for this big game. They turn the corner to the Colts game and now looking at the Chiefs. We'll hear from.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
D'Amico coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we're here on a busy, busy Wednesday, and let's head to NRG now. Let's hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, as they prepare to play the Kansas City Chiefs.
How dangerous still is the Chiefs with all the ball players? Is the Chiefs with all the ball players they have, especially on offense?
Yeah, we know the Chiefs are a really good team. It's our next opponent, so we're fired up, you know, for the matchup. Excited to go play a really good team.
There's an extra element of having them playing the cold. What is the challenge of that, and did you have any strategies when you were a player of keeping warm in cold games?
Yeah, the strategy for playing in the cold is not to focus on it too much, right? It's a mindset factor. You have 3 hours. Like, no matter what the weather is, no matter what the temperature, like, you got to go out and play ball for 3 hours. So it shouldn't be a factor for our guys.
An update on Kamar Lassiter and also on Woody Marks?
Yeah, Kamari, Woody, Will, they'll be fine. We'll see how the week goes.
Last year was a pretty bitter loss in Kansas City, a pretty fired up locker room. Do you feel like there's any kind of funny rivalry there, and do you think that your players thought about that loss specifically this summer, this season, anything like that?
No rivalry, no hard feelings. We lost a football game. All right, new season, we have a new team. About this team this year, like, how do we go out? How do we prepare this week to put ourselves in position to go out and play as best as we possibly can?
Problem is their speed, or how much of a problem can their speed, specifically at receiver, be for defense?
Yeah, they have good players. Right? They have good players at the perimeter. We have good players too. So we play fast, play physical. That's not going to change for us.
As you look at the tape of the last couple of games from your offensive line play, there's this perception and idea that they're playing a more physical style. Are you seeing that, and what is that group perhaps doing well right now?
Yeah, our offensive line is definitely playing physical. Right? You see the clips. I know the clip with Ed. It's a really nice clip, but you see that physicality show up. You see guys playing together. They're playing connected on the double teams. They're finishing well. So they're doing a really good job. It's the second week that we had that same O-line in, so excited to see them go back for another week and continue to grow, continue to get better. So they're doing a great job. Just got to keep it going.
Why do you think this unit has clicked? And, you know, you always want to find the best five guys that work well together. What is it about this unit that's really worked for them?
Yeah, the guys are playing well together. That's the most important thing.
DeMeco, can you talk about this Chiefs offense and the challenges they present? I mean, forget about obviously the record, but what is it that makes, Patrick Mahomes Patrick? And is he still Patrick?
Yeah, Patrick is still Patrick. Right, he's call him Houdini. He finds a way to make plays all over the field. That's why this team, it's always been a threat. That's why their games are always close, because of Patrick and his capabilities of extending plays, and not just to run plays, not to run the football, but the way he extends plays, the way he finds his guys down the field, it's unique, right? There's not many guys in the league that can do it how Patrick does it. That's why he's a special player. The guys he played with, they know where he's looking. They know what to look for. So they're connected. Although it may seem like they're scramble plays, they're connected and coordinated in where they're finishing. And Patrick knows the spots. So you just have to be aware. And now with that threat as well, he can run the football, gain third downs in those critical moments as well. So it's going to be a challenge as always with the four guys rushing. Got to do a great job of having awareness, knowing where he is, and the guys in the back end, you got to cover him twice, like, because he can extend plays and they can go on and on and on. You have to be aware of the guys in your zone, your area, and you have to stay on them.
What does Nico Collins mean to this team, and how valuable is it to have a superstar like that that will do whatever you need to help the team win?
Nico is such a valuable piece to our team. First off, with that's his mindset. He's humble. There's not an ego with Nico, even though he's one of the best receivers in the league. You know, he doesn't walk around that way like somebody owes him something. Like, he's a very humble guy, respectful guy. He brings it every single day that he's working. Like, just watch him work on a Wednesday, Thursday. Like, he works extremely hard at his craft. To see a young guy, like Nico, just continue to get better and better as he's been in this league, that's what it's about, that growth. He's exhibited that, and he's a great teammate. He he'll do whatever it takes for the team to win, knowing that it's not just about him, it's about the team. And you couldn't ask for a better guy who should be this superstar a lot of people are talking about, but you don't hear much about him. He's quiet. He goes about his business the right way. And, you know, that's his approach, and that's just fine. I love the way Nico prepares each and every week. Love the man that he is, and I'm just excited to have him on our team and see him, you know, get the praise and accolades that he truly deserves.
Along those same lines, Coach, you talked about the offensive line earlier, and then you just got to talk about Nico Collins. And that wide receiver role, you have players in there that are willing to, you know, give themselves up as far as blocking is concerned. Last week, especially on the touchdown run, there was – touchdown run in, I think it was another play, where Xavier Hutchinson got in there and made a huge block. You know, Christian Kirk got in there and made a huge block. Those type of things show up on the film, but they don't show up on social media, things like that. Yeah. How much of an emphasis have you all put on having your wide receivers get involved in the run game like that?
With our wide receivers, it's very critical to our offense that they block. You know, a lot of receivers want the football. Can't get the football like unless you're blocking. So our guys have that unselfish mindset. Coach Ben has done a great job with the group. When they are blocking, all the guys are responsible to block at some point of the game. So it's not just one particular player who has to do it. All the guys have to do it. All the guys are getting better and they're excelling at it. And some of our touchdowns that we're able to get, it will be because of how our wide receivers are finishing their blocks downfield. Like, they are the touchdown blocks, and they have to get it. They have to stay connected, move their feet, and they have to be physical in there. And our guys are willing to do that, and that's why, you know, we can make the plays we make because of those guys. In the run game, it's very critical, you know, for our wide receivers to block, and that's why our run game will excel because of them.
Can we get a couple moments last year in Kansas City where you could have kicked the field goal, punted, gone for it? Have you reevaluated or watched those decisions, and do you ever go back in the tape to think about that on fourth down?
This is new year. We're here to play Kansas City with this team this year.
The Chiefs front, a few more. George Kalaptis and Jones, what are some of the challenges of those guys in particular?
Their front is very good front, you know, starting with Jones. You talk about a guy who is very disruptive in the run game. It's passing game. Like, he finds a way to get into the opposing team's backfield time and time again. So he's a guy we have to have awareness for him at all times, because he can wreck a play and wreck your series if you don't have eyes and awareness for him and you have the intensity you need to go after him and block him consistently. Then you got Karloftis on the edge, really good player, good young player in this league. Man, you talk about a workhorse. He's going to stay after it, relentless guy, finds a way to get after the quarterback, leading their team in sacks, but just a physical, relentless rusher, and we're going to have to outwork him this week.
What are some of the things that Spagnuolo does well as a defensive coordinator that presents challenges for you guys on offense?
Yeah, Coach Spags has done a great job his entire career of having some of the best defenses in the league, and what he does, he really stresses offenses just with his blitz package. I think that everybody's aware of that. He does a good job of bringing the pressure. The guys do a great job of executing it, and it could be anyone, right? Corners, nickels, backers. Like, he does a good job of mixing it up. So it's, you can't just watch it and say, oh, I know who's blitzing all the time. Like, you really have to trust your rules. You really have to be aware, and the receivers, tight ends, everybody have to be on the same page. Everybody has to see the game through the same set of eyes when it comes to their blitz package, because it's very lethal. And he does a good job of calling it, not only on third down, but in some of those, you know, first down, second down, like any time. So we have to be prepared for that. And if we can execute that the right way, we feel like we can make some plays.
So you guys
go ahead.
You guys have obviously finished at both home and away in this recent streak, but are there differences in finishing at home versus finishing away, or things that you have to account for late in games?
There's no difference. Every game, I would say every game is, you know, it's a game of itself. Like, whatever that, if it's on the road or away, it really doesn't matter. Whatever that game calls for when it comes to making the plays necessary to win, it really, it's no difference game, home or away.
Coach Andy Reid this week that, you know, his team is going to, you know, with the play calling, you know, tickle the tonsils of other people. What is it like matching wits with Andy Reid?
I don't try to. It's my old coach. I don't try to. I'll let Andy have that. So we're preparing how we need to prepare. Andy's he's a great coach. Had the pleasure of playing for him for 1 year. He's been he's an outstanding coach, and he has a track record to prove that. So, you know, it's always a challenge going up with Andy because, you know, whatever you've seen on tape, he's going to have some type of wrinkle, right? There's going to be some type of new play design that we can't prepare for because we haven't seen it, because he's very still cutting edge, just a really smart coach, does a great job of positioning his players, making you have to adjust and think on the fly on defense as well. And that's why he's one of the best to ever do it.
How much of an asset is Kamari Lassiter, not just on the outside, but near the line of scrimmage? Seems like he's getting more involved blitzing, and every time he's around the line of scrimmage, seems like there's a lot of violence. How much of an asset is that?
Kamari is one of the, hands down, one of the best corners in his league when it comes to playing physical, right? It comes to stepping up in the run game. You want to see a corner tackle, go watch Kamari's tape. For any corners that want to learn how to tackle, young corners, go watch Kamari Lassiter. Go watch him tackle. Go watch him take on blocks. Like, there isn't a better corner in the league when it comes to the physical presence that he provides to a defense. There is not a better guy than Kamari.
We'll close it out with Christine's hand.
I know you like to take things week by week, but if you could pick out a common thread that has led to you guys' success during this winning streak, what would it be?
The common thread for us winning is our players making the plays. That's what it's all about, Chris. Like, our guys done a great job of finding a way to make, whether that's special teams, offense, everybody stepping up, making a play when we need to make a play. And that won't change, you know, this week as well. It's always going to be about the players, and that won't change.
Kelsey's connection remains strong this season. Just what about the way that they play together and their chemistry makes them so difficult to defend?
And both guys, have, of course, they played together for a long time, and they kind of know, you know, when the routes, Kelsey can shut a route down probably sooner than it needs to be shut down, and Mahomes is feeling the same thing or seeing the same thing that he's seeing, and that's why they're able to have that, you know, good connection. Kelsey plays with, you know, he has great hands, really good job, really great awareness of zone coverage of when to sit it down, like when to break out, break in. It's just they're tied in together because they've seen football through the same set of eyes for such a long time, and you see that connection. It's still there on tape. All right, thank you, guys.
All right, that is head coach D'Amico Ryans as he meets with the media. We'll react to some of the things D'Amico had to say and also react to something that he had to say that I think is really, really square to his quarterback and kind of the mental work that C.J. Stroud has moving forward this season. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.